Thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly service. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we ask that you pray and see what God would have you give. Now let's get to our sermon for today.
Okay, one of the problems in marriage is women talking code. And what's really interesting is that, you'll understand in a minute, I'm not sure, a year or 2 years ago, I forget how long ago, Fred came to me, and I'm pretty sure you're the one that showed me the man machine. Was it the man machine or whatever it was called?
Oh, the man's later.
The man later, okay. And I don't know how many of you ever saw that, but it was to translate what a woman was saying, and I'm going to try to say one of them as I recall it, and I may be paraphrasing it really bad, but the guy goes up to the wife and says, I want to go play golf today. And her answer was, well, if that's what you want to do, you go ahead and do it. And the translator would say, that means your wife doesn't want you to go. That's what we mean by code. And literally, this people do talk in code. It's not just women, it's men too. And I have at home, and I'm not sure who the guy is. He looks like he's a professor, but I don't know if he's a comedian or not. And you all may have seen this where he has a sculpture head of a woman and on a podium and a man on the other side. And he keeps walking up talking about how they operate, how they work. And it's hilarious. But the thing is, it's true what he's talking about. And then I just got another, someone sent me another email with something similar to somebody else doing something real short, but it was along that line. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up to you is the world recognizes this as a problem. And in the book, he talks about it in depth, about the code. So men have it too. And you'll see as we get into this. So, number one, we got to learn not to say things in code. And two, to learn to decipher the codes. So here's what I'm going to do to start off with. I'm going to read a story that actually happened. Listen to what it says. A couple was about to celebrate their 10th wedding anniversary, and the wife began to wonder if her husband would remember. There had been plenty of times during the past decade when he had forgotten their anniversary altogether. No matter what she did, little hints, big hints, he would miss it. But on the 10th wedding anniversary, with no hints at all, he remembers. He makes a beeline for Hallmark and is soon gazing upon those racks full of greeting cards. One colorful card quickly catches his eye. He skims the words. They are perfect, he thinks. This card is her. No doubt about it. He grabs it off the shelf, pays the clerk, and hurries home rejoicing. Finally, he has remembered their anniversary. And a special one it will be, too. She's there when he arrives at home. So he sneaks the card into another room, signs it, and quickly writes her name on the envelope. He even adds a couple of tiny hearts over her name as an extra touch. Then he comes out and hands his wife her 10th anniversary card. She beams from ear to ear. She is so happy. Finally, he has remembered. She tears open the card and begins to read, and then her face falls. Her eyes, that have been bright with loving energy, turns cold. Her beaming countenance becomes sour and dark. What's wrong? Her husband asked. He's a very sensitive guy, and he can pick up on these things. Nothing, she says. There is, too. What's wrong? No, there's nothing wrong. But there is. I can see it. What is it? Well, it's not bad for a birthday card. As you might guess, the conversation's headed downhill from here. You're kidding, says the husband, grabbing the card from her hand. No way. Unbelievable. She says, no, you're unbelievable. The husband blinks in the face of his wife, very real anger. He knows he's full of goodwill. He has remembered the 10th anniversary. He has bought her a present as well as the card. Well, honey, I made an honest mistake. Give me a break. Give you a break. An honest mistake? Oh, it was an honest mistake, all right, because you just don't care. You don't know. Do you know what? If you took your car to be detailed and put a stripe on the side and it was off a fraction of an inch, you would notice that, right? Why? Because you care about it. But you don't care about our anniversary and you don't care about me. The husband cannot believe it. He's moving from feeling guilty to getting angry. What he thought would be a loving celebration of the 10th anniversary has become a conflict that has escalated fast. Hey, I made an honest mistake, all right? Give me a break. Good grief. You buy me a birthday card for our 10th anniversary and you expect me not to be upset? I'd rather you hadn't bought me a card at all. Now, I want you to keep this in mind, because this came out of the book, by the way. Okay? One of the problems in marriage is a couple communicate in code. They don't say exactly what they mean. They are thinking right, but they're not saying it right. And we're going to learn about that today. Now, I'm going to give you some really quick examples, one-liners. And I think you all can relate to these one-liners. She says, I have nothing to wear. She means she has nothing new. He says, I have nothing to wear. He means he has nothing clean. And it's basically true. There are times when the wife says something to a husband, but the husband does not hear the same thing the wife is saying because it's in code. Two different people hearing things two different ways. Now I'm going to read something that he actually experienced himself with his wife, a short one. Listen what he said. Now, apparently he's at home when he does this. He says, just the other day, I was working on my computer, and Sarah, which is his wife, had the radio on in the next room. It was some kind of talk show, and just loud enough to derail my train of thought. I yelled to her, are you listening to that? There was no response. I yelled again, are you listening to that? Still no answer. Finally, I really yelled louder, are you listening to the radio? She replies back, I've been trying to listen, but you keep interrupting. This created a two-minute exchange that almost turned into a serious argument. It seems Sarah was irritated with me because she hadn't even noticed the radio. She was busy with something else. But she thought I called to her because there was something on the talk show that I really wanted her to hear. Of course, my real intention was that she turn off the radio if she wasn't really listening to it. So I was irritated with her because she hadn't understood me. Now I want you to think about that. That was a code. And think about it. What he should have probably said is, honey, are you listening to the radio? It's too loud. I can't concentrate. But he just was asking, are you listening to the radio? She interprets it totally different, thinking, oh, my husband wants me to listen to something that's on a talk show. It was two honest things, but because not enough was said, the code went through and nobody interpreted. Think about that. Often, we focus our needs and simply overlook the needs of the others. Men, we need to memorize the word love. I can't stress this enough. I've been saying it in the last three sermons. We have to learn the moment our wife, something happens, the word love has got to enter your mind. And you've got to say, my wife needs love. I've got to figure out how she needs it and give it to her. Women, the same thing with men. I can't stress enough that you understand as much as you need love, a man needs respect. And God doesn't put it in the Bible for the sake of just, you know, give him a little respect. I'm going to give you examples of that in just a minute. So you need to memorize the word respect or reverence, whichever. Both of them mean the same thing. But you need to take the time. And when a problem comes up, respect hits you, or the word love hits you, depending on who you are. And if you want a good marriage, you need to keep these things together with your spouses. Now in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Get to that. Turn it to it. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Very short verse. Now, if you pay attention here, it doesn't talk about wives submit to your husband, which everybody knows that verse. This is saying submit yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Both people submitting to each other. And this is how it all gets started. Men showing love to their wives, women showing respect to their husbands. Submitting to each other. Submitting to each other and the needs that they have. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, the word honor here, I got to thinking, I wonder what this really means, and it was interesting. The word honor in the Greek comes out this way here in this scripture. Honor which one has by reason of rank or state of office which he holds. The rank or state of office is this, wife and mother, or wife or mother, depending upon the situation. You're to honor her because she has chosen you to be her husband and the mother of your children, and she loves you. How do you honor someone? Well, for guys, the best way I can bring it up to, I say, since we all love motorcycles, I once had the opportunity to win a trophy with my shovel in a bike show. And that trophy sits in my office, and it's up there where people can see it if they were to come into my office. A lot of people put their trophies on the fireplace mantle or in some place in the living room where people can see it. Why? Because they're proud of it. Look what I've achieved. Look what I got. And that's what this word honor is referring to here. It's putting your wife up on a pedestal, showing what a wonderful wife you have. Bragging about her, talking about her. Something you are proud of that you want people to see. And that's the meaning that this has. How do you honor someone? Well, by the way, it also brings out the fact, the weaker vessel, and I got to thinking, what does that really mean? Does it really mean what I think it means or whatever? But it literally is referring to weak as in strength. Physical strength is what it refers to. Now, think about this. God thinks so that this is so important, what he just said here in this verse, that he tells us that if we don't do this, it will hinder our prayer life. So a lot of times, if you're praying and you don't feel like nothing's happening, you better start looking on how you're treating your wife. God feels it's that important. Now look it back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. I gave you this verse last week, or last time we spoke, or the time before that. I didn't go back and look, but I know I gave it to you. God tells us this isn't the verse, it was another one. God tells us to love our wives even as Christ loved the church. Now this was really interesting. I learned something here. This is not referring to emotional love. Honey, I love you. Give her a flower. That's not the love this is referring to. You ready for this, guys? It's sacrificial action. Sacrificial action. Like helping your wife. I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is helping around the house, taking the trash out, whatever. And something that requires sacrificial. Now, I think the word sacrificial, that's giving something out. Like you sacrifice, like in the Old Testament. This is a sacrifice. And then I got to thinking, what would be sacrifice? I got a good one coming up, I thought about. The Super Bowl. A lot of men are going to be watching, so I know a lot of women will watch it too, but a lot of guys are going to be watching that Super Bowl, and all of a sudden I got to thinking, how would that work out? Well, my wife would say, okay, how about taking the trash out? Well, normally you could wait on that a moment. Can you wait to the the commercial? I'll take it out. But then I got to thinking, like the other day we had chicken, and she cuts up the stuff. Well, chicken, when you put it in a trash can, starts stinking. You don't want it to be in there long. So there might be a situation where you have to literally drop what you're doing, go in there, and empty that trash right away while the game is going on and you may miss the winning pass of the game. That would be a sacrifice. So you can apply to yourselves what that sacrifice, and it's, and this sacrifice isn't a one-time event. This is all the time, 24/7, all the time, guys. Anything around the house. You go out of your way to help your wife. It becomes sacrificial action. We do this day in and day out to show our love for our wife. Wives, submit yourselves and respect your husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is the verse I gave you before. I made a mistake. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversations of the wife. Now, this is interesting, and I talked to you about that. Now, God's actually telling you here that obviously this is a man and a woman that could be either out of the will of God. In other words, he's not serving the Lord, he's saved, or he's not saved at all. It's not clear enough in the Greek to know which one it is, or it could be both. So then you can apply it. But what it's referring to is, ladies, you're to live your life with your husband in such a way that through what you do and what you say will bring him around towards God. That takes a lot of work to do. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Especially when you have an ungodly husband and all. But that's what God's saying here. Now, let me prove some of the points here. Several wives took the author's advice here and went home with respect. And the author, and I think I mentioned this the first one. He said, go home, get a piece of paper, and start writing down what you respect your husband, what you know you could respect him, whatever it is, whether it's something small, whatever, think about it, and try to find out and make a list. Then go tell your husband that you respect him. Well, one lady wrote back and told him, says, I went and did what you told me to. Says, I went home and did that, and then I got up, and he said, when you go to your husband, he recommended do it when he's relaxing. Not when he's busy doing something. So she went in, he was watching TV, and he goes in, and all she said to him was, I just want you to know, dear, I respect you. That's all she said. And she turned around and started walking out of the room. Before she got to the door, her husband said, listen, why don't we all go out as a family and go out to eat? She says, my husband, in all the years we've been married, has never said that, ever. And I said, you know, that'd be a good idea. Let's go ahead and do that. Then they found out that the kids had previous engagements with the school thing, that activities and all, so they couldn't do it. So she told her husband, listen, I would love to do it, but the kids, we can't get them out of that. Says, okay, that's fine. We'll do it another time. Next thing you know, about 30 minutes later, she hears a bunch of noise in the kitchen. So she goes in there thinking some of the kids gotten into stuff, and it was her husband fixing dinner. She says, that was parting of the Red Sea. That's never happened. And she says, from that day forth, she says, it's like we're on a second honeymoon. She says, my husband has changed so much since I went in there and did that. She could not believe the reaction. Another lady did the same thing. Went back and told her husband she respected after she wrote the list, but didn't say what she was in the list now. All she said, I respect you. Before she walked out of the room, the husband asked, what do you respect me? So she went through her list. She said, these are some of the things I respect to you. The lady wrote back and she says, you would think we were just getting married for the first time. She says, my love and my husband's reaction has been so enormous. Said it didn't happen all at one time with her, but it happened. She says, I can't get over what little thing I did with my husband changed his reaction so great. And I can't stress, and I'm going to keep repeating this, because sometimes you can't comprehend this as ladies. As much as you need love, a man needs respect. And just think of it that way. Because you know how much you need love. and how much you want it. It doesn't mean that every person and every husband that gets that way is going to respond immediately. Let's face it, and I've talked to people that, matter of fact, somebody that I counseled with not too long ago about marriage, I told them this. I said, listen, you want to change your life, you want to get your marriage back together again. I said, I think that's fantastic. I said, now, you're going to change your life, right? Right. Okay, and you're going to, I said, don't expect your wife to jump the bandwagon right away. She doesn't know if you're for real or if this is just a temporary little thing. I said, it may take a month, it may take a year, I don't know. It may take some time for them to be convinced that you are for real. I said, be prepared for that. Well, I'm going to say the same thing with you women with respect. And all, that when you do show the respect, some people are going to respond quickly. Some are going to take a little longer. Some are going to take longer. But it will affect them. Just like God says, how do you treat your enemies? By being kind to them. And what's the scripture say? That if we're kind to them, what will happen? Anybody can finish that verse by chance?
Put the coals on their
head. Right. It will affect them that bad. It will affect them that bad. And the same thing will happen with you wives when you start showing respect to your husbands and sit down. I don't know how big the list will be. It might be a short list. And as time goes by, that respect will grow and grow and grow. Just the way the love for the husband to the wife is going to grow, grow and grow. It works both ways. Now, men and women are different. There's nothing in this world that's going to change that. One way of saying this is men see blue and women see pink. That's the way he puts it. I think it's pretty cool. We look and hear things differently, and we have to understand that. That just because I say something doesn't mean my wife's going to understand it the very way I'm saying it. I may not be saying enough to bring it clear enough for her to understand. Well, I meant this. Well, you got to say the same thing with women, with your code back to men. We got to learn what we're saying. Remember what he did with the radio. He just said, are you listening to the radio? He never explained the situation. Think about that. It's how we say things, what we say. When we see the other, our spouse, and sense there's something wrong, wives need to jump on the bandwagon with respect, just like a man needs to jump on the bandwagon with love. You need to treat it right away. Now, you may not know what the answer is. You may not know what they're going through. But you can bet your life it will involve being loved somehow. You'll be using the same thing with respect. Now, think back at the 10-year anniversary we spoke about to begin with. He should have realized that she felt unloved. And that's the way she felt, did she not? You don't care about me. You don't really love me. You love your car more than you'd love me. And what he should have did is asked her forgiveness. And tell her how much he really loved her. And that maybe he learned a valuable lesson. Now, just so happens, pure coincidence, that this happened to me. Just a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you're going to remember this. Anyhow, she'll remember it the moment I say it. My wife says, it was my mom's birthday. She says, go out and get a birthday card from my mom. Now, I love to get funny birthday cards. From my dad when he was alive and all, to my brother, everybody. I want them to laugh at something. Especially if you can find the one that fits their character. And I thought I found one when I went out. I found one. I said, this is really cool. She's really going to laugh at this, my mom. And I came home, showed it to my wife. She looks at it and she says, you got a problem here. What's the matter? It's from you, not from us. It never occurred to me that the card was, you understand what I'm saying? It's supposed to be from both. My mom, my wife loves my mom as much as I love my mom. We have a great relationship and I have a wonderful mom. And she wanted to be a part of that. Now, we didn't have an argument, but I learned a valuable lesson that day. my biggest lesson is I'd rather have her in the same store with me when I'm picking it out. And, because sometimes I was so caught up in the message, it never occurred to me it was only coming from one person. I missed that. It was an honest mistake. But she said, go ahead and mail it anyhow. She said, she didn't want me to go back. I was going to go back. But see, when we do make a mistake, we got to recognize it and not fight it and say, it's just a stupid thing. What's the big deal? It's just a card. Well, it means something to my wife because she said it wasn't there. And then I thought to myself, well, what if she bought one and it was for her and I wasn't there? I think I'd have felt kind of bad too. That's why we got to stop looking at others ourselves and look at others in a marriage. We don't count. The more I can do for her, hopefully by the scripture says, it will turn around and come back to me eventually through her. And that will work with all of us. Now, what should she have done in the 10-year anniversary? She should have looked at the good things. He did remember. He never does. He did remember. He even bought her a present as well as the card. So she should have looked at all the good things he did and forgave him and continued and had a wonderful anniversary. But so she was just as in the wrong as he was. They were both in the wrong, which created what?
The circle.
The circle. And remember what I said about the circle. Somebody's got to get off the circle to make it stop. Somebody's got to take initiative to get off the circle. Men, it will be love. Women, it's going to be respect. Learn from each other rather than fight each other. Now, one thing we all need to learn. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 33. Now, I'm going to skip some verses in between the two verses. I skip some words, only because I'm trying to get to the one main meaning of this. It says, but he that is married careth for the things that are of the world. What things? How he may please his wife. Skip down to 34. But she that is married careth for the things of the world. What things? That she may please her husband. This ain't Glenn making it up. This isn't the author in the book making it up. This is God talking to us. This is what our life is supposed to be. Ladies and men, we get up every day to do and give to our spouses every day. That's what our life is all about. It's not about us and what pleases us. And I believe what goes around comes around. You've heard that saying many a times. You keep giving, it will eventually come back to you, some maybe immediately, maybe a little down, but things will change. Your marriage, you'll get to the point like that one lady. I love that when one lady says, we're a bunch of lovebirds, she used the term, after she told her husband. She said, our whole life is... She said it was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, the way she... I didn't read the whole thing, but... She just couldn't believe, and she had to write that letter back to the author about it. Now, here's the interesting thing. We got to remember, number one, code. Try not to speak in codes. And if we do speak in codes, hopefully let's all learn that there's an interpretation there we have to learn. And all. But hopefully we can eliminate that code. Number two, love. Number three, respect. Now, here's something interesting. I'm reading an article here. Scientific research confirms that love and respect are the foundations of successful marriage. Dr. John Gottman, professor of the Department of Psychology at the University of Washington. This is not a saved man. This is a worldly scientist. Led a research team that spent, listen to this now, 20 years studying 2,000 couples who had been married for 20 to 40 years to the same person. So they deliberately went after longevity, okay? These people came from diverse backgrounds, so they weren't commonly together, had widely diverse occupations and lifestyles. in these marriages, but one thing was similar. Listen to this. The tone of their conversation. There, as these couples talked together, almost always there was what Gottman called a strong undercurrent of two basic ingredients, love and respect. And he did not read the book, Love and Respect. This is what else he says now. These are the direct opposite and the antidote for contempt, perhaps the most corrosive force in a marriage, contempt. Now, that's a scientist who doesn't look towards God that sees love and respect as that important. Love for the woman, respect for the man. And well, you know what? God knew this thousands of years ago and put it in the Bible for us to have a good marriage.
We pray that we have been a blessing to you. For further assistance, call us at 864-270-1472 anytime. Send email to info@stlmm.org or visit our website at www.stlmm.org. Like any ministry, it costs money to operate. Please consider supporting this ministry as God leads you with your prayers and your financial gifts by going to www.stlmm.org and clicking on donations.